It's always a delight to talk with Kathy Fox.
Thank you for having me, Lois.
What is your official title?
I am executive director and executive editor of artsatl.com, which is a publication that covers all of the arts in Georgia, mostly in Atlanta.
And this is certainly something that plays beautifully into our series we're calling Arts 2015, which is looking at the state of the arts and specifically how technology has impacted things. I mean, how would you contrast your job today versus what you were doing 20 years ago?
Did I have a computer 20 years ago?
Exactly.
Not sure. I think at the AJC, we had some sort of we weren't typing. When I started at the AJC in 1981, we weren't using typewriters and tearing off the pages, and messengers weren't running around taking the pages. So we had computers. We did have computers. The difference is that there wasn't an internet then in the way that there is one now. And print media was it. Print media was the way you got your information. And there was a common place that people went in a community, to their local newspaper, to find out what was going on, to hear opinions about what was going on, to read for pleasure, learn about other people in their community. And probably 10 years ago, that started to really change.
I mean, 20 years ago, we looked forward to waking up and getting the newspaper.
Exactly.
Outside. It was outside.
It was like the party line. It was the place everyone picked up the receiver and listened in to the same thing. So we all had the same reference points. And there was a certain cohesion in the community because of that.
And now?
Now, it is much more fractured and fragmented and siloed than it was before. As the print media imploded and organizations migrated online, people started writing about whatever they wanted to write about in any little increment. And many bloggers write about the particular thing that interests them. And even many of the websites that exist now are hone in on one particular discipline, music, say. And when we started in 2009, we took a different path entirely. We decided we wanted to reclaim what was so wonderful about the newspaper and the feature section, which was an omnibus of information and reviews and commentary, or a smorgasbord that you could pick and choose, but that you might find something you didn't know you wanted to read. And Pierre Roux and I, who founded this in 2009, decided we wanted to cover the fine arts disciplines, theater, music, dance, art and design, books, film, in one place so that we could be a hub of that information and commentary for the city, for Metro Atlanta.
And we should add that the AJC made a strategic decision to eliminate posts.
Absolutely. When the internet rose and the economy fell, there was a total implosion of the print media. And one of the first things to go was arts journalism. The NEA and the Knight Foundation conducted a survey in 2012 that said about 50% of all critics and arts journalism jobs had disappeared, and I would dare say it's more than that. The AJC had 9 full-time critics before I left. It has none now. And it's very different when you don't have people on the ground who have a consistent relationship to what's going on in the community. So For one thing, you don't hear the. It's like the sound of one hand clapping. What is out there, and who's going to tell you what it is? Not tell you so much, but to give you choices as to what they think might be the things you want to do and see or might want to know about.
So you perceived this strong need because there was a void.
There was a void, and we decided to try and fill the gap. And we really didn't, there weren't any precedents for us at the time, and we didn't know where it would take us, but we decided to just give it a try and make it up as we went along.
So now it's 2015, 6 years later. What's your readership like?
Well, I can give you the Google Analytics. We last year we had 1.3 million page views. We had about 350,000 individual sessions. 1.3 million page views is a lot of pages to be read on a site that's just about Metro Atlanta. And although a large part of our, the majority of our audience is Metro Atlanta, we have readers all over the world who tune in.
This is one of the good things that's resulted from the online trends. I mean, you have people reading about Atlanta art and architecture that you're writing about in Europe, in Asia. And has that changed the way in which you report?
It does not.
You're not imagining a global audience.
No, we are not. It's all self-selecting. So those readers will find, if they're interested in a topic we're covering, they will find us by Googling us. If they like what they read and they come to respect us, they'll come back. So that we're really, our readership, our target audience is really Metro Atlantans who are curious about what's going on in the arts or interested in any one of the arts or who might someday be interested. And that is the audience we want to reach. We know there is a large potential audience out there. We doubled our numbers between 2013 and 14. And I still feel like there's more to tap. And we hope that we're playing the role that the paper did in terms of connecting, being the link between readers, potential audience, potential patrons, and arts organizations and artists. I used to be told when I was the visual arts critic at the AJC, people would walk into galleries with the newspaper under their arms. They had read the review and they wanted to see it. I know that happens, and they may not have a paper under their arm anymore. They may just have their iPhone or their iPad, but we still play that role in connecting the reader to what's going on. And I just think it's an important role, and I'm thrilled that we can provide that service.
How do you eat?
I have a very supportive husband.
How do your contributors?
Most of our contributors are freelancers who are scrambling to make a living any way they can.
And but they're very competent.
When you eliminate 50% of the or more of the arts journalism jobs, you have a lot of hungry writers out there, not only hungry to put food on the table, but to speak to their passion and to have a platform to express themselves and to influence the community. And those are the writers that we have assembled to work on the site, is people who have experience, have the passion, and have the wherewithal to write credible, honest, and compelling stories.
Do you think there is hope for print to survive at all? I mean, even the behemoths?
I can't speak to that.
You have no idea?
No, I don't. I don't think anybody's really figured out how to make online profitable. So that's an issue. And that is a difference I should point out, is that we are a 501c3 nonprofit organization. There was no way that we can survive on ad revenue, just as the big print conglomerates are discovering. And So we, half of our budget, just about half of our budget comes from advertising revenue, and the other half we raise through grants from foundations, from city funds, and from individual donors who understand that this is a civic organization. Like, it's not a commercial operation. It's a civic organization trying to make a difference in the community. And if they want it to continue, they need to support it, just like WABE.
So social media has really been a blessing in this area.
It has been a blessing. However, it does not reach everybody. Anecdotally, I keep discovering people who are our natural readers who do not know about us because they don't devote hours of the day to Facebook. They don't use Facebook in that way or social media, any other social media in that way. And we need to learn how to reach those readers who would be avid if they only knew about us. So it's a conundrum.
It is a conundrum, as is the matter of critics. I mean, how can you preserve or hope to nurture future critics with the constraints you have now?
Well, I'd say we're a haven for those critics. We hew to journalistic values in terms of honesty, in terms of conflicts of interest, in terms of a level of civility that we maintain. Snark is not permitted on our site. And I view a review as an argument. And when you make an argument, you have to back up what you say. So to say whether you like something or not is not criticism. That is saying that you like it or not. Criticism is having a point and then illustrating it, proving it to the reader. The reader may still in the end not agree, but at least it's a reasoned argument that is supported by the commentary. And agreeing and not agreeing is not the point. The point is to start a conversation, to provoke thought, to provide context so that the reader might understand something better than he or she did, or to write their own opinion and put it in our comments section and react to it and have other people comment. So it's a very narrow and limited idea to think that just saying you like something is a review.
And yet, the thumbs up, little signs.
Yeah, I mean, that is not what we're about, and I hope that we demonstrate the validity of trying to bring a more reasoned and a sophisticated view of things. But civility is very, very important to me.